Man, I'm really excited about this series that we're kicking off today called Miracles. But first, would you please help me welcome all of our campuses as well as everyone attending the Annex this morning and watching by television as well. Come on, let's give them a big welcome here, Celebration Church. And man, it was great. It was really cool. I was actually just over in the Annex hanging out with some of you guys, and Carrie's actually attending the service over there right now. That is just a really cool place to attend in church. It's really awesome. I encourage you, if you haven't been to the Annex, you want to check it out, man. Try it out for service. I really enjoyed over there. Hey, look, I'm excited, as I said, about this series that we're kicking off called Miracles. And what we're going to be doing, we're going to be looking at some of the miracle works of Christ over the next few weeks. And we're going to be looking at some principles where we can receive a miracle from God. How many of you would say, Stovall, I really need God to do something supernatural in my life? Could I just see a show of hands? And probably if you didn't raise your hand, I'm glad you're here. Because if we're all honest, what a miracle is, it's just God doing something for us that we can't do for ourselves. And many times people have looked at miracles, you know, it's only for like the super spiritual people, or it's for like just people that really, really, you know, need help. And, you know, I'm just kind of an average guy. And so, you know, I don't really know if, you know, God really takes my needs as seriously as others. And we're going to look at the heart of God, and we're going to look at the compassion of Jesus. And we're going to see that receiving a miracle from God, it's very simple. Many times in our human reasoning and even in religion, we tend to complicate things, and we tend to miss the point of the heart of God and the nature of God and the character of God, that Jesus loves us and he wants to do something great in our life. And last weekend, or Easter weekend, it was just awesome at Celebration Church. All of our campuses, we saw over 1,700 decisions for Christ. And how many of you know that is the greatest miracle? That's the foundational miracle of people receiving Jesus and forgiveness of sins. And it was just an incredible weekend. And we're glad that that's just the beginning of a great season here at Celebration Church as we head into Shine and Mother's Day and this summer. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them to Mark chapter 9. And we are going to take a look at a really cool miracle today. And I want to unpack some things from this story here. And I believe we're all going to be able to relate to. And I just want you, during this series, as I said, for the next few weeks, I'm believing that God is going to take Celebration Church on a miracle journey, so to speak. And I believe that several people are going to receive a real breakthrough, a miracle from God. And if you really think about it, whether you raised your hand or not, we all have needs, whether it's in our family, whether it's a health issue, maybe in your career or financial, we all have needs that I believe only God can really meet, and only God can really change. And that's why when we look in the Bible, just like here in Mark chapter 9, man, it's like every other paragraph, Jesus is doing a miracle for somebody. And God is showing us something and telling us something by that. Jesus did so many miracles in the lives of so many different people. If you look at the people and the spectrum of representation in the Bible of who Jesus did miracles for, yes, there were the people that were in super crisis and down and out. And we all have our own crises in our lives. But God does miracles for every type of person, every different type of person, no matter where you're from or what your background is. If you'll just understand a few principles and keys to receiving a miracle from God. And in each one of these messages, we'll probably do three, maybe four, but in each one of these messages, we're really looking at one big thought, one big point, one key to receiving a miracle. And I believe in all of these messages, it's going to be something that maybe you've never heard before, and something so simple, yet something so profound. So let's take a look here in Mark chapter 9. Great story here. Jesus is coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration that was just really, really powerful. And in verse 14, he's coming down. He's going to come to a group of people here, and there's a lot of commotion going on. Mark chapter 9, verse 14, it says, "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him." How many of you know, look, when you have an issue in your life, the best thing that you can do is run to Jesus. God wants to be the first person that you come to when you have a real need in your life. God wants to be the first person that you talk to when you have a real need in your life. God loves you and He cares for you. And so many times when we have something in our lives and we need God to move in our life, we need God to do the impossible, unfortunately, we don't go to God right away. But if we run to God, I promise you only good things can happen. And it goes on to say here, verse 16, Jesus asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit." Now, he's not obviously talking about actually bringing him to Jesus, but Jesus' disciples here. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. "So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." And he answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." So this language here, you see this in several of the miracle stories of Jesus. The same thing with the calming of the storm, with the disciples. And they come and they say, you know, all the boat's about to capsize and they're in this huge storm and Jesus is sleeping. And they wake him and they say, "Don't you care? Don't you care what's going on here, Jesus?" And he says, "Man, how can you have such little faith?" It's the same language here. Jesus is saying, "Don't you understand or can't you see how much I love you? Can't you see how much I care for you?" And we're going to talk about this principle of faith. And what's he talking? What type of faith is he talking about? Verse 20, it says, "Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth." So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything," look, "if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." You know, many times in our life when we have a loved one or a family member that's hurting or that's in pain, the person that's in pain, not only is that person hurting, but the whole family is hurting. And many times, especially if you're a parent and you have a child and that child is hurting, the pain that you experience as a parent watching your child hurt or watching your child suffer is even greater than the pain that the child's experiencing. And so this is what we see from this father here. We see a very broken man. We see a man that he is tormented as well because he can't do anything to help his son. And so many times in life we encounter situations and we encounter circumstances and people that we love are hurting and we're hurting. The people around us are hurting and there seems to be no solution. It seems to be an impossible situation. Even the disciples of Jesus, they couldn't do anything about it. And so this father comes to Jesus and he says, "If you can help us, have compassion on us, please help us." Look at Jesus' response. Jesus says to him, "If you can." Okay, so follow me here. The man says, "Jesus, if you can." And then Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." How many of you can relate to that statement there? It's like, "Jesus, I believe that you can do something about it, But God, this thing seems so impossible. We have struggled with this thing for so long. I've been to church. I came to your disciples. They put the formula in practice, and it's like, Lord, I know that you have the power. I believe that you have the power. But God, it just seems so impossible. Listen, God wants to make the impossible possible. And we're going to look at some things in this passage, and I'm telling you, God cares about you. He cares about your situation. He cares about that thing that you're so concerned with. What's going on here? If you look at, just to kind of backtrack here, you know, the disciples and the scribes, they're basically having an argument when Jesus comes on the scene, and they're obviously arguing about why the disciples couldn't cast out the evil spirit. You know, that's just like human reasoning, and it's just like religion. Religion always wants to complicate things. Religion always wants to over-question and over-analyze and take things that are real simple and take the simplicity of the gospel of Christ and believing in Him and trusting in Him and just make it real complicated. Many times make it real spooky. We saw that last weekend or Easter weekend with the man at the pool of Bethesda. That he's, you know, Jesus is like, look, do you want to be made well? And the guy's like, man, look, I've got this whole system. I'm not far enough in line. I don't have anybody to help me. The water gets stirred up before I get there. We tend to overcomplicate things. And I believe that's exactly what's going on here. You know, the disciples are saying, well, you know, we said the name of Jesus, but maybe we didn't say it three times. And the scribes are like, man, God wants this kid to suffer. He's teaching everybody a lesson. And, you know, and you can't, and God doesn't heal or whatever. And they're putting all the methods and the methodologies and the doctrines together as to why or why not this person shouldn't receive a miracle. And Jesus comes on the scene. He's like, man, what are you, there's a boy involved here. Where's the boy? And so many times we forget in religion or in the complexity of life, man, that, man, it's about people. You know why God does miracles? Because He loves people. You know why God wants to do a miracle in your life? Because He loves you. Because He cares about you. And so everyone's talking about the whys and the why nots and the ifs and the doctrines and the methodologies. And Jesus is like, where's the boy? Where is the person that is hurting? Would you let me see the boy? And then the Father engages Jesus, and Jesus obviously has compassion. He's talking to the Father. He's like, man, how long has he been going through this? How long has he been like this? And the Father answers him, and all of a sudden, the Father, a hope, a faith rises up that he's never had. And he sees that, wow, Jesus really cares. It's not about, you know, it's like the disciples, and you see this in the Bible a lot of times. The disciples were forgetting about people a lot. They were all caught up in the power of God. You know, they come back and they're like, man, we're doing miracles. Jesus, the demons are subject to your name, man. We're all fired up. We're doing all these great things. And Jesus is like, hey, just be thankful that your names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, they come back from a town. They're like, Lord, they didn't believe us. Can we call down fire like Elijah? You know, let's burn them up. We'll teach them a lesson. You know, they're probably rehearsing, you know, how they're going to do it. You know, let's see. Lightning, now. Fire, you know, now. Consume. You know, getting a staff, you know, reading about Moses. What kind of staff did? Let's do a staff judgment. Let's get some, you know. Jesus doesn't do miracles for, and Jesus is like, hey, look, you're not calling fire down on anybody. Okay, let's not forget the Son of Man has come to save people's lives, not destroy them. In other words, people are the issue here. Same thing going on. They're talking about why isn't the power coming and the name of Jesus and all this kind of stuff. And Jesus says, look, this is about a boy and a father and a family that are hurting. And this father sees this compassion that Jesus has. And all of a sudden, this hope comes up in him. He's like, Lord, You can have compassion. You can help us. Will you help us? And Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. But doesn't that really raise another question? All things are possible to him who believes in what? Because I'm telling you, everybody is trying to copy God on that scripture. I mean, everybody's using all things are possible to him who believes now. You can turn on any positive talk, you know, positive, you know, people power kind of talk show. All things are possible to him who believes. All things are not possible to him who believes, depending on who you believe in. All things are not possible if you just believe in yourself. Look, self-confidence without God confidence is false confidence. You know, Carrie and I were down in SeaWorld a few weeks ago, and that was the theme of the show. All things are possible to him who believes. But like, instead of a cross, it was like a Shamu whale tail. And I must say, I was very impressed with the show. I encourage you to go see it. I mean, it's incredible. It's a whole new deal. I mean, there's not only Shamu, there's like baby Shamu. There's Shamu Jr., there's Shamette. There's all these Shamu. It's like a huge family. I'm like, what's all the, all these baby Shamettes and Shamu Juniors and everything. And it was a great show. But all things are not possible to him who believes in the killer whale. But it really was a story just about believing in yourself. Listen, believing in yourself, there are so many limitations. That's not the belief that Jesus is talking about. You know, that's what I'm saying. It's so funny how everybody tries to copy God. Jesus is the one that came up with this. All things are possible to him who believes. But watch. Now, many Christians, so maybe that's kind of people, you're like, yes, Soval, I know that. You know, I believe in God. I understand. He's talking about all things are possible to him who believes in God. But many Christians, and maybe you believe this, and this is the biggest misunderstanding, I believe, or confusing point about receiving a miracle from God that I want to bring to you. All things are possible to him who believes. Most Christians would say that's talking about the expected outcome. In other words, you know, all things are possible if I believe, like I have this positive mental outlook that this expected outcome is going to happen. In other words, you know, I'm believing that God heals me, and so I'm having this positive mental attitude that I'm going to go to the doctor, and when I get the doctor's report back, I'm going to be free and clear. Or I'm believing to get a breakthrough in my finances or a breakthrough in my career. So I'm believing that is going to happen in Jesus' name. I just believe in the expected outcome. I'm having a positive mental attitude towards that. But that is not what God is talking about. That is not the belief that Jesus is talking about. When Jesus says all things are possible to him who believes, he's talking about to the man or woman that believes in the character and nature of God. In the strength, in the character, and in the nature of God. In other words, just like this man is beginning to experience. You come to God. Here's the big principle in receiving a miracle from God. When you come to God, it's not that you have a positive mental attitude on your expected outcome. That is a byproduct of the foundational belief that you believe that God is good. You believe that God is all powerful. You believe that God cares. You believe in the character and nature of God, that he is a good God and he wants to help you and he has the power to do so. Are you following me? In other words, let me give you an example. I just, yesterday, I got to go out in this boat and I took, Stovey and Annabelle tubing in this boat. Man, it was awesome. They were tubing it up out in the St. John's River, and then we stopped in this part of the river and we anchored and they just wanted to go swimming. So Stovey's 7 and Annabelle just turned 5. And so if you're a parent and you have children that age, you know that age is the age when if they're going to go swimming in the ocean or go swimming in a lake, you have to go through the litany of possible creatures that would be there to do something on them. So we started off. They usually start with a big daddy Okay, we want to go swimming right here, but are there any sharks here? No, there's no sharks here. How about alligators? How about crocodiles? Dad, I saw this show of this frog that had teeth. The frog with teeth here. Can they get us here? You know, what about stingrays? What about piranhas? What about just small fish that nibble on your toes? Are there any, you know, any turtles that don't like children? Are there any, you know, you go through the litany of creatures and possible things that could happen when they're going swimming. So I'm obviously like, no, everything's going to be fine. Nothing's going to happen to you. You know, so they jump in the water and have a good time. The reason that my children, Stovey and Annabelle, jumped in the water was not really because they were totally convinced that there were no creatures in the area, but they were totally convinced that Daddy would take care of them no matter what. That Daddy would not let them go swimming in this place if there was any real danger to them. And that if any threat ever came close to them, that I would protect them and be okay. Their faith, so to speak, in swimming in the river was based on their belief in their daddy that I'm strong enough, that I'm good enough, and then I'm wise enough to protect them as they go swim. Same thing with your relationship with God in your life. The reason that you believe God will heal you, the reason that you believe God will give you a breakthrough in this area, the reason that you believe God will free you from this addiction that you've been struggling with is because God is strong enough, God is good enough, God loves you enough, and He cares for you enough, and He wants to do a miracle in your life. And the expected outcome, however that looks, a healing, a breakthrough, a this, a that, however that looks, is just a byproduct of that. But too many times, especially in even Christian or church circles, we get it backwards. We put all of our faith or our belief in the expected outcome, but deep down in our hearts, do you really believe that God cares about your situation that much? Do you really believe that God wants to help you and really do something supernatural and spectacular in your life? That all things are possible to him who believes. There's two questions that you have to answer. Number one, do you really believe that God cares about you and what you're dealing with? I mean, really, I know you're going to say, of course I believe God cares, Stovall. Of course I believe that He cares in general. But do you really believe that He cares to the point that He wants to do something about it? Can you come to God with confidence and say, God, I know that You love me. God, I know that you see this suffering and You see this pain, and I humble myself, God. And God, I'm asking You, I believe, I know that You're a good God, that You're an all-powerful God. I know that You love me, Lord. And I know that You care about what's going on. Can you really say that to God? God, I know that You care about what is going on. And God, I know that You want to do something about it that'll bring You glory and draw everyone involved closer to You. That is the faith where all things are possible to him who believes. So this guy here, that's what he realized, and that's why his response is the very next thing. He says, Jesus says, if you can believe, in other words, believe in me, my power, my goodness, that I really care, that I really want to do something about it. Remember, Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, you know, the storm, story of the storm, and they're about to capsize and everything else. He's sleeping, man. He's not giving another thought. They wake him up. You know what gets Jesus' attention? You know what wakes him up like that? When the disciples come to him and say, don't you care that we're perishing? You know what they're really saying? I mean, they knew that he cared. They're really coming to Jesus and they're saying, Jesus, I know that you care about us. That is what prompted Jesus to calm the storm, even when they did not have the faith for the appropriate expected outcome. Same thing right here. Watch this. The guy says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, this word cried out here in the Greek, it's like this word that means like he was filled with hope, but he was overwhelmed. And it was like this, I can't, he has this picture of Jesus could actually do something about it. And he can't believe. It's like, this is incredible. And he cries out with this shriek and he says, Lord, I believe. In other words, I do believe in you. I believe that you're a good God. I see that you have compassion. I believe in your character. I believe in you, your nature. But Lord, this thing with my son, this expected outcome, him really being well, help my unbelief in that area. Do you see the appropriate place? Our foundational faith to receive a miracle from God is believing that God is good in God's character, God's nature. Lord, I believe. What does Hebrews 11:6 say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is what? It says that he is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But what? Believe God is what? There's your question. Believe in what? Believe God is what? Believe God is good. Believe that God cares. Believe that God wants to do something about your situation. Believe in the character of God. Believe in the nature of God. Believe that God does want to do a miracle in your life. We've got to believe that God is. He says, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are. But God, this thing, that's where it gets back to many of us. There's that one thing we've just struggled with it so long. We just can't find the mental energy to, when we look at the circumstance, for it to actually change. He's like, God, help my unbelief. And what Jesus does next proves to the man that his faith for a miracle was in the right place. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, don't focus on the circumstance. Focus on my goodness, my nature, my compassion, my power, that I want to help you. And guess what? The rest will come. Yes, we want to have a positive mental and faith that the circumstance is going to get better, but that will never really happen unless we have the foundational faith. What is the faith for the impossible to become possible? Trusting in the character and nature of God. So he says, Lord, look what happens here. He says, help my unbelief. But he already said, Lord, I believe. That was the faith that moves the mountains, makes the impossible possible. Look what Jesus, verse 25, it says. Jesus saw the people. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out. Y'all watch this. Look, read this scripture. Okay, you following the scene here? I'm telling you right now, would it just be great to be right in the middle of some of these stories? So here's the scene. This guy comes to Jesus, goes through this whole deal. So Jesus takes action. It says, I command, and come out of him, enter him no more. Verse 26, it says, then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he, speaking of the boy, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he's dead. In other words, God killed him. You ever feel like this? It's like, here's the dad. He goes through all this with God and this incredible experience, and I thought I had the faith, and then God killed my kid. See, many times it gets a lot worse before it gets better. And many times we believe God, and God is doing a miracle. This is a great example of a miracle that was a process. Many times God is doing a miracle, but once again, instead of keeping our focus on the goodness and nature and character of God, we can look at the circumstance and we can say, man, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. That's what these, they're like, look, man, he's dead. I would have rather him been tormented and alive than dead. See, when God does a miracle, look, he doesn't do a patchwork job. And many times, just like in this story, your situation will get worse before it gets better. Many times, the circumstance, we bring it to God. We believe God for a miracle in this area in our lives. It gets a whole lot worse. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're believing God for a financial breakthrough, and so, you know, you believe God and you start tithing and you get fired. You know, you finally, like, man, I'm believing God to get healed in this area, and you know, you've got some kind of issue. You know, and you go to the doctor, and you're like, man, it's going to be a negative report, and you come back, they're like, you know, it's worse. Everything's spread. You know, your kid's in trouble, and you finally get him in church, and you're believing God, and everything looks like it's getting better. And lo and behold, you get that phone call out of nowhere. And it's worse than it's ever been. Or your marriage, you're working so hard, and you feel like you're believing God, and you feel like that you're getting some kind of breakthrough, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this thing happens. And it's like, you're not only right back where you were, you feel like you're even further back. Whenever you experience that, I want you to remember this story. When the dad and everyone around looked and said, he's dead. It's worse. It didn't work. God didn't do a miracle. He doesn't really care. But aren't you glad that's not the end of the story? Listen, no matter what you're facing, guess what? It's not over. No matter what you're going through in your life, it's not the last chapter yet. It's not the end of the story yet. If you believe in the goodness and character and nature of God, sometimes things take time. Sometimes things are a process. Sometimes you have to have patience. I don't understand why some people get healed, some people don't. Some people receive incredible breakthroughs, other people don't. But I do know this, that God loves and cares for everybody. And I know God's character, and I know God's nature. And God does want to do something supernatural and spectacular in your life. God wants to bring healing where you hurt. He wants to come in and do a work. If you believe that he's able, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, maybe some of you remember the story, the three Hebrew children, the fiery furnace is kind of famous. You know, Nebuchadnezzar. Got any VeggieTales watchers out there? How many of you parents, VeggieTales has like thwarted all your doctrine? You're like, yeah, remember Nebuchadnezzar and the three chocolate bunnies? Or was that like Nebuchadnezzar and a golden statue? What was that? The bunny. Oh, I love the bunny. Sing the bunny song and bow. But anyway. That's right, I've seen all of them. So Nebuchadnezzar, or this giant pickle, or King Nebuchadnezzar, whoever he was. That is a good nickname for him, Nebuchadnezzar. So there's the three Hebrew children, and they're like, look, you know, you need to bow down. You need to worship me. You need to worship, in other words, idolatry. And they say, hey, watch, their faith is in the right place. They're about to have a miracle. They're about to get thrown in this huge fiery oven, fiery furnace. And Jesus is about to show up and protect them and save them and deliver them. How do you know that's a big miracle? Wouldn't you love to be there for that? That's what I'm saying, man. I'm telling you, dude, if you followed around Jesus or God, it was a scene, man. It was a flat-out trip scene. Blow you away. But anyway, so I say, hey, look, we're not going to bow to you. Because our God is able. What? We know God, and our God is able to deliver us. Do you see where their faith is? The faith that makes the impossible possible. Our God, faith in God. We know his character. We know his nature. We know his strength. He's able to deliver us. But watch kind of where they stand on the expected outcome. Okay? And it's not that you don't have a positive faith and a positive mental picture of the expected outcome. But they said, hey, look, our God's able to deliver us. But you know, even if he doesn't, do you see? We're still not going to bow down and worship you. Do you see? And in many of our modern day Christian circles, if you have that kind of attitude, you say, man, I know the goodness and nature of God. I know his power. I know that God cares. And I believe that he's going to do a miracle in this area. But you know what? If for some reason God's ways are higher than mine, or for some reason, even if he doesn't, God's still good and it's still awesome. And one day everything's going to be great in heaven anyway. In many modern Christian circles, they'd be like, well, that's, you don't have enough faith. Too much emphasis is put on the positive mental state of the expected outcome when your faith needs to be in God. He who trusts in the Lord, not the expected outcome, in the Lord will never be put to shame. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. Or Larry, Eddie, and Stevie, or Bob, and the tomato, or whoever. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, they said, man, we know God. We believe in God. We know his character. We know his nature. He's going to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But you know what? Even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down and worship you. And what did God do? God did the miracle. Jesus, I believe that you're good. I believe that you want to help me. But God, this expected outcome, it's so difficult to really see that changing. Help my unbelief. Jesus still did the miracle. The man at the pool of Bethesda, do you want to be made well? I mean, who's going to take me to the pool? How am I going to do this? Who's going to help me over there? What? Jesus is like, God still did the miracle. All things are possible to he or she who believes in the character, the nature, the goodness of God, the power of God. Do you really believe that he cares for you? Do you really believe that he wants to change the situation? All things are possible. Listen, so I'm going to close with this. So this is cool. Here's the end of the story. You ready? This is going to be the end of your situation. This is going to be the end of your chapter. Look, Jesus took him by the hand. Speaking of the boy, they said he's dead. He wasn't dead. Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he rose. God wants to bring new life in a miracle kind of way into your situation. And the boy was totally healed. Let me close with this. Listen to this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. When you're with God, look, you've got a great benefit package. Believe God. What is that one? I know some of you are thinking like, Stovall, I know this man. You're talking about the one thing, the one miracle. Look, dude, I need like 50 miracles. I need like a combo pack. Is there like a value pack miracle? Can I get like a, you know what I'm saying, like a value? How about supersize? Does Jesus have any supersize deals? Watch this. Start just with those one or two things, just those major things. But are you ready for this? God doing 100 miracles, it's the same effort as doing one miracle. God is not short on power. And he's certainly not short on love. And he cares for you. And when you have Jesus in your life, you've got some great miracle benefits. But you've got to receive them. You've got to believe. How about this one? Who forgives all your iniquities? How about God? He forgives us all of our sins as we saw on Easter weekend. And we'll see here today as well. Eternal life. Forgives all of your sins. He removes your sins as far as the east is from the west. No matter what you've done, God's mercies are new every morning. God loves you. He cares for you. He heals all your diseases. God does heal. Who redeems your life from destruction. How many of you were headed down the wrong path? And God came into your life and he rerouted you. It's like that GPS. You know those new GPS? You get lost. If you're like me, you're a little bit directionally challenged. You get lost. You hit the GPS. They're like rerouting. Rerouting. If you're a person that gets lost a lot, you like that. You know what? That's what God's done to a lot of your lives. Rerouting. Getting you on the right path. And we're all, but without God, we're all on a path to destruction. It's just when we finally wake up and realize it. So, look at this. Who crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things? He's a good God. This speaks of the character and nature of God here. He heals all our diseases. He forgives our sins. He's got great benefits for you. He wants to put good things into your life. Psalm 147, 3 through 6. God heals the brokenhearted. God wants to heal you where you hurt. He binds up their wounds. He counts the numbers of the stars and calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. He's great. He's mighty in power. He created the whole universe. He spoke everything into existence. You don't think God understands? His understanding is infinite. He's the only one that really understands you. The Lord lifts up the humble. When we humble ourselves like this Father, the expected outcome, that's just kind of hard to really believe, but God, I'm going to focus on your goodness and your character. And I know that you love me and you don't want to see me hurting like this. You don't want to see others that I know hurting like this. I believe you for this breakthrough. You're going to see a miracle in your life. All things are possible to him who believes in the character and the nature and the lordship of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your word. And